You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. It's good to have you tune in with us today. The reason we're here, we're fathers of five. Dave Buhner also in studio with us. In just a moment, we're going to be speaking with Scott Bryan, who is father of six children himself and author of the book Climbers for Christ. But first in the news, another school shooting in Hillsborough, North Carolina. Dave, I don't know if you heard about this, but arrested is a 19-year-old Alvaro Rafael Castillo. He's accused of opening fire on his school, a high school out in North Carolina, and he wounded two. However, after being arrested, he admitted to killing his father. He just murdered his father and then went out and tried to murder a few others for good measure. Another example, folks, of public school socialization skills. I always ask a question of people who put their children in public schools. What about socialization? You ever ask that question, Dave? I mean, I always ask, what about socialization? Yeah.
It's an important question.
Yeah.
Do you want your children to learn from peers and from queers, or do you want them to learn from, well, you?
Yeah, parents and other people that could maybe disciple them in good ways. Well, ladies and gentlemen, another example of the destruction that is brought about by a worldview that basically says you're cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance, so who cares if you knock out another piece of cosmic dust? There is no law, there is no God, and who cares about thou shalt not murder, because that was just written on stone some 4,000 years ago, and it has absolutely no relevance today. That's the worldview taught in public schools across America. It is not my worldview, and I hope it's not yours either. But today, the question is this. What is your vision for your boys? We complain a lot on this program that 36% of sons are born without fathers, and that's really bad. That's extremely bad. That's over a third of American boys are born without fathers. Many other boys are raised without fathers in a single-parent family, and a lot of boys are very distant from their fathers, and this is a bad thing. Boys, the vision for boys today is not very good. Obviously, 36% of boys are impregnating girls and then just walking away. That is up from 5% in 1960, as I mentioned. And only a third of boys have reached adulthood at 30 years of age. That is, they have a steady job and a family. That's only a third. That's about 33% of boys reach adulthood by the time they are 30 years old. So again, folks, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, our sons are perishing. And my question for you dads out there is this. Listen, dads, here's the question. What's your vision for your boys? You want your boy playing video games at 23 years of age, impregnating the girls in the dorm rooms? What's your vision for your sons, my friends? What is your vision? Do you want them to live a faithless, aimless life at 38 years of age, selfish and irresponsible, unable to keep a marriage together at 38 years of age? What is your vision for your 13-year-old? The vision, the average vision that a father has for his 13-year-old will contribute to where his son will be at 23 and 38. So again, dads, what's your vision for your 13-year-old boy? The average son gets 19 minutes a day with his father. We're trying to improve that on this program. And we want a vision for sons. So that's why we're going to interview Scott Bryan. He's written the book, Climbers for Christ, A Father's Guide to Equipping His Son. Scott Bryant is going to give us a vision for sons. Next on Generations, my name is Kevin Swanson.
Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Folks, we're back. With me in studio is Scott Bryan, a good friend of ours, father of six children himself, pastor of the Mountain Church, and author of the book Climbers for Christ, A Father's Guide to Equipping His Son for the Mountain of Manhood. Scott, welcome to Generations. Great to have you with us.
Kevin, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And Scott, you and I have a lot in common. You've got a 15-year-old son, I've got a 15-year-old son, and I think we're both, the experts just trying to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't think we're here as experts today. We are here as men who love Jesus and feel the calling, and now we're just trying to figure out how to lead it practically.
Scott, how have you been involved in the life of your son over the years?
Michael is actually my adopted son. In the beginning, as I adopted him and really chose to love him and move forward, the Lord began to tell me, Scott, don't drop this. Do something with it. At each juncture, let the Lord lead you on this. And so we've done it imperfectly at times, but my goal has been to try to really be open to doing it practically, doing it right, according to God's word, with lots of His grace.
Have you seen that change over the years, Scott? I mean, are you more involved now than you were, say, 5 years ago?
Oh, no question. I as I look back, I kind of see him with his mother. His mother and him, very close. They had a beautiful relationship, still do, but as time went on, as he neared the age of 12, 13 years of age, I realized that God was calling me to stand up and do a little bit more, because I noticed something. I was the man in the home, my wife, obviously, the woman. And if anybody was going to be able to equip my son for manhood, it wouldn't be the woman. Even though she loved him dearly and cared for him and led him, there were certain heights of manhood that only I, as his father, could lead him to.
You know, God really impressed that on me about 2-3 years ago as well. I realized there's one person in this boy's life who could make a significant difference for him. I just came eye to eye with that point, and God really impressed me on that. And I wound up spending a lot more time with my son since then, since he was 12, 13 years old. And I think it is paying off. Scott, what do you think are the impediments that really get in the way of fathers being fathers to their sons?
Well, I think there's several perceptions I know I came into fatherhood with, and that was, first of all, honey, I'm going to go off and tend the garden. God told me in Genesis that I've got to do that, so good luck on raising my children. I'll be back. And I think there's perceptions that it just simply stops there, and I bring home the bacon, you cook it up, and the child will just simply be raised on his own, and if not by his mother. And I really realize that that's a perception that holds men back. The other thing I see is just the sheer busyness of men. I think today people go, even good intentioned dads simply say, hey, I hear you, Pastor Scott, I want to climb. Reality is I got to get up in the morning and go to work, and I won't be home till dark. How do I do it? And so I think that's a huge factor, and that's one of the reasons that we've been looking at how can we practically equip men in the 21st century to lead their families when their time is limited.
And that's what the book Climbers for Christ, Father's Guide to Equipping a Son for the Mountain of Manhood is all about. Scott Bryant, author, in studio with us today. And Scott, you know, the spiritual life of a man is different than the spiritual life of a woman. I think that is somewhat assumed by the mountain of manhood. There are challenges, there are spiritual lessons for men that are different. Sometimes our journeys are different. How do you think the journey for the man is unique?
And I look at my wife, and first of all, I ask the question to the Lord, why am I leading this family? It seems like you have wired my wife to be so much more naturally spiritual, more relational. In fact, and oftentimes in the home, even more of a leader. Laura, why did you put me at the helm of this boat? And I think beyond having just a sense of humor, I think he knows that he has us humble from the beginning, because we know there's no way we can climb it. And Kevin, one of the things that I want to just share real quickly here at the beginning is with the concept of being a climber for Christ. If anybody has done any rock climbing or climbed any type of a mountain at all, one of the first things you begin to realize is the importance of that rope. In fact, if you don't have a rope attached to you, you are silly, if not foolish, to even begin to try climbing that mountain. Because the reality is, no matter how strong you are, no matter how talented or gifted you are, you will eventually come to the end of your strength and you'll fall. And I think men need to know that here from the very beginning today, that this is not a book that's written that says, if you will follow these steps, you will be able to lead your son up the mountain of manhood on your own strength. What it says is, come to the mountain of God's love and tie in to his rope. And what we call it in the mountain metaphor is the rope of God's grace. And if he fully understands that it's God's grace that is allowing him to climb, then he's not going to puff up with pride, and he's not going to shrink back in fear and weakness and say, I can't do this. It's God's grace that is supporting him each step of the way.
And it's faith that grabs onto that that rope of grace. And yet, what you're still implying by the metaphor of the mountain is there's effort here. I think of the Isaac Watts hymn, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. You know, the Christian life is one of effort. It's one of challenge. And yet, are guys afraid of that? Are guys afraid to climb the mountain of faith?
I have to take you back a little bit to a conference that happened that you might be aware of a few months ago called the Czech Conference here in Denver, Colorado.
And I think I showed up at that.
Yeah, thing. I think you did. One of the things that we saw as we sat there at our booth and we were just beginning to present this book was as men would come by and they'd be intrigued, first of all, because we had this climbing metaphor all over the place. And, of course, they thought we were talking about real rock climbing. And we're not opposed to it. I love to rock climb, but the purpose of the book is more beyond that. As they came by, though, I could see the look on their faces like, whoa, wait a minute, you're asking me to get involved? You want me to be doing something here? And I'd see the wife's face. She's lit up. She's excited. And then she's hoping her husband will take the lead and help her here. And I could see, though, that the husband's perplexed because he's understanding, oh, wait a minute, there's more. You're expecting me to get involved. And that's the whole heart here, is asking dads, can you get involved more than you are right now? Just take a little step. In climbing, typically the challenge is to want to take a huge step quickly, right out of the gate, and you fall. What you've got to do is take little steps, one at a time, according to God's word, and eventually you'll get there.
And a big part of this is you want to encourage fathers to lead in their homes, to engage in relationships, to really disciple their children for God. You basically want these dads to get a vision and then step out and lead on that vision, don't you, Scott?
Amen. Amen. I see them in the climbing metaphor. We call them the lead climber. First of all, I want to back up and say this. The lead climber, the capital L, lead climber, is Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what we've named the book after, Climbers for Christ. And the steps, as 1 Peter 2:21 says, you know, walking in the steps, those suffering steps, it's not easy. Climbing hurts. In fact, if you climb for very long at all, you get bruised, you get bloodied, and that's true in the Christian life as well. And so we say, dads, because you have the lead climber, Jesus, leading that you can follow, now will you step up humbly and yet boldly be the lead climber in your family?
All right. You know, Scott, you have bit off a really significant challenge here to get fathers engaged, involved, leading in their homes. I mean, this is not easy. You're a pastor, Scott. I know you've done this thing in your church a number of times. Do you find that fathers are afraid to lead their families? Are they too lazy? Are they distracted? What are the things that are getting in their way, do you think?
You know, Kevin, I wouldn't say that fathers tend to be lazy in general. I think fathers are hugely hard workers. They go out and tend the garden just as God told them to do. It's very rare. I come across very few men who actually are not willing to go in and work for their family, to bring home the food, to provide financially. But I think there's a lack of understanding or a lack of motivation to press forward and provide for a family in all aspects. Understanding that it's not just financial provision they need. They need leadership provision, spiritual provision, relational provision. And a great deal of that God knew would not be happening if fathers were not nearby. They've got to be with their families. And I know what listeners are thinking right now is, how can I be nearby? I mean, I'm commuting an hour away. I'm gone all day. And I pray today that there's not fathers getting overwhelmed by this, thinking this is impossible. I don't think Jesus has called us to climb an impossible climb. I do think he's called us to a very challenging climb, especially when we live in a culture that offers the meadow. And if you wouldn't mind, Kevin, I'd like to just quickly describe what the meadow is. In the mountain, we talk a lot about the mountain in the book. And I want you to see, our listeners understand, that you're not going to be motivated to climb the mountain of God's love if you don't first smell the stench of the meadow. What I mean there today is our young men and fathers both face a meadow. And I'm using that in an allegorical sense, the idea that the meadow is where everything comes easy. Picture yourself just running through a towering field of wheat. You know, as I was driving out to your house, I noticed that there's just wheat fields, and people could just walk for miles and not run into anything. And that's really what the meadow is in the spiritual relational sense, that people could just do what comes easy, what comes natural, just follow their inclinations. And what we're saying is, if you do that, you will end up in bondage, because what you'll find a treasure in the meadow, and you'll go and you'll enjoy that, but it won't last, and you'll run a little faster looking for the next one, and pretty soon you are running and you're in bondage to the next reward that you'll find in the meadow of pleasure. And so what we're asking men to do is be willing to unplug from that meadow that's all around you today, and not only that, then also encourage and protect your sons from that meadow also.
Scott, let's get back to training sons. That's what we're about here today on this program. But what is the vision for our sons? Scott, what's the vision you have for your son? What do you want him to be when he's 22, 23 years old?
Right now, Michael is kind of challenging me to ask those questions. And today I don't come here as an expert. I'm in the trenches as well, trying to figure out, Lord, what is your will for my family? But here's one of the visions I write about in the book that I would give to fathers today. And that is knowing that for the most part, there are some people who are called to singlehood, but there are many and most who will marry. And my prayer is that my son, when he stands there at the altar here in a few years, and we're praying that God will reveal what that timing is, but when he stands there and the young lady comes and he is saying the words, I do, that I will know as his father that he really understands what he's saying, that he is able to lead her practically, that he is not a stranger to hard work, to hard commitment, to trust, and he knows the Word of God. And so my prayer, my vision for my son is that he will boldly be a lead climber first in his family. I have to admit there are lots of places I'd like for him to lead that he would get public recognition for, but I want him to know first and foremost God has called him to be the man, to be a lead climber in his family. And then overflowing into his church and then into his world.
You know, I think a lot of fathers listening to this program right now are thinking about what they're doing with their son. What they do is they send their son off to academic training. 95% of American dads are sending their kids off to school for academic training. They might get some physical training there. But the boy is more than a brain. And I'm not sure that the average father understands this. There is more to academic training. There is more to the training of a child than academics. Why don't you expand the vision here a little bit, Scott, for those listening?
We call it that we would encourage dads to understand the academic muscle, which you just referred to, is an important muscle. God says that knowledge is important. Wisdom is key. We must be filling our minds with God's Word and truth. There are seven life muscles that we say a young man needs to be developing, and a father needs to be aware of and be developing if he's going to be ready to lead boldly for Jesus Christ. I'd just love to just share those with you real quick. We call the first three the core life muscles: the spiritual muscle, the leadership muscle, and the relational muscle. The four practical life muscles. They would be the life purpose muscle, the life skill muscle, the academic muscle, and then the resting muscle. Those four practical muscles, we say, combined with the three core to be those seven life muscles that would really encourage and equip a son to be ready to lead boldly in his world.
You know, you talk about the core muscles, spiritual, relational, and leadership. Was that it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I begin to see some connection there, you know. In other words, if you're going to be a good leader, you need to have a toned relational muscle. You've got to have some spiritual muscle in place if you're going to be that spiritual leader in the home.
That's right. That's right. Well, oftentimes you'll see that as I interact with dads, you'll see that a lot of times they have a very specific muscle that God's given them naturally in. Some guys will be a natural leader. Other guys are natural in their relationships with others. But oftentimes what I see is, as we come together as men, this highlights the importance of God's church. As men come together, we can rub off on each other. We can learn from one another and be challenged because, yes, we need to be developed in all of those.
How are you training your son to be a spiritual leader? How are you toning that spiritual muscle, that leadership muscle, that relational muscle in the home? Is he turning into a godly spiritual leader at 15? my son's a little ragged around the edges, you know. As a leader, you know, it takes a little work. He does some leadership, but sometimes it can be just a little malformed, you know.
No, there's no question. It's a work in progress. And my prayer today, and I know that for any of my sons to successfully climb, it's going to be by God's grace. I recognize that, and I'm thankful that they are tied into that rope. First of all, that's my role as a father, to make sure that they know there's a rope of God's grace, and to help lead them to that in my example, in my teaching, and by God's help, yes, my sons right now are tied in by faith into that rope of grace. And I would say that practically, Kevin, what has really been just a huge life-changing experience for us is the homeschooling journey. My son, being the oldest, had to be the guinea pig. We had him in public school and Christian school. I was actually a school administrator for a while, and I thought this would be a great place for him to come and interact with his peers and me over lunch. But we have found that there is a profound quality that comes whenever he is just simply with me each part of the day. And obviously, in the ebb and flow of the day, that can't happen at every moment. But I have found just a relationship that has allowed me to Deuteronomy 6 with him, to share with him God's love, God's truth. I make just when we're driving in the car, when he's with me in the office, when we're up on a roof. We started a roofing business recently where I have him wanting to develop one of the practical muscles, the life skill muscle. And I've just found as we're together and as he has a chance to have me, it's a sobering thing, Kevin, to know that I'm rubbing off on him, but to know that that can also be used for good, that God's love can spring just out of the quality time that we spend together.
You know, Scott, as we challenge dads and as we're equipping dads and we plant a vision with our sons, I think significant things are going to happen to millions of dads across America. Hundreds of thousands of dads, perhaps thousands of churches across America are going to change. If fathers become spiritual leaders in those homes and begin to raise mighty men of God out of their sons, you start doing this sort of thing, what's going to happen?
I see today this generation of men, we've been called to first of all recognize there's a mountain and we've got to climb. We've got to stand up and lead our teams. But here's the beauty of it. Our sons in the next generation have a chance to pick up where we left off. And my question I have today is, how high will I climb? How will I be faithful? Will I stay out of the meadow? Will I commit my life to climbing the mountain of God's love? And so I see today, as we really are igniting, there's been several words that have been used to describe it, that we are the Moses generation passing on to the Joshua generation an opportunity to enter into the promised land in a way that we have not. And probably, it's humbling, Kevin, but probably there are things that we see today that we will not get to take hold of. We will have to say, son, it's there. There's freedom for you to lead your family. It's there in the future. Now, press forward, because maybe you'll get the taste of it in a way that I have not. I believe it's there. God's Word tells me. So keep climbing, son. Keep going.
How can folks get a copy of your book, Climbers for Christ?
Kevin, we'd love for them to go to our website, belayer.org. That's a rock climbing term for those who aren't into that. B-E-L-A-Y-E-R. They can order that, and we'd love to put a copy in their hands. And if they have any questions about how we can resource them or really ignite that vision within their church or in their homeschooling support group, we'd be glad to be available for that.
Scott, thank you so much for your ministry again, folks. Scott Bryant, author of the good book, Climbers for Christ, A Father's Guide to Equipping Sons. You can get it again at belayer.org. Scott, thanks again, brother, for joining us on Generations.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's a generational vision, my friends. And if we can plant a vision in the hearts and minds of fathers and then transfer that to the hearts and minds of our sons, I think we're going to have, well, a virtual reformation sweeping across this nation. But it starts right here. It starts right here. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.